Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. It's so great to be here again this week, literally. And Randy, how are you doing?
You know, I am doing well. I'm sitting in my office, got the window open. It's just a beautiful day here in California. Enjoying the cool down. It's, you know, been 100 plus here for much of July and August, and today it's like mid-80s, so
loving it. You guys were having that heat wave, weren't you? That heat wave
yeah.
That was so uncommon for the, yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy, and, you know, so, yep, we're just enjoying the being able to open the window in the office and just go, ah,
beautiful.
Nice.
No
yeah.
Air conditioning, no heat, just beautiful. The seasons were in the fall right now are starting to change in many places, and it's just so refreshing.
Yeah, I
just,
love it.
Flew back from Los Angeles, was in a convention. You know, when you're in the hotel for 3 or 4 days with all these people, it's fun. It's very exciting and uplifting and nice to get back out to outdoors as well. I love it. After you go over, tell us who our wonderful guest is today. This looks really, really exciting. Then I was just going to dig in a little bit on some real estate and some win-win situations and common ground and our positive mindsets, just a little bit of that, because we're seeing so many things going on, and we have a choice every day whether to be positive or negative, and some days it's harder than others. Or I think sometimes people expect you to when you say, how are you, everybody expects you to say, fine, right? Right? People expect you to, and it's better to be positive
mm-hmm.
than negative. And it plays such a huge role in what agents and brokers do in real estate to find common ground and what the little kind of secret is to do that magic, to make the negotiation work. So I'm just going to touch on it just for a few minutes. But I'm excited to hear our guests. This is the fun part of the show.
No. You're the fun part of the show.
Get out
You're the
here.
Fun part of the show. Come
Maybe
on.
Maybe I've been with myself too long. You're funny. That's good.
You're the fun part because when you talk about, I mean, honestly, you don't have to be a real estate agent to appreciate, you know, what you talk about with regard to your what you've learned. I mean, you've learned so much that goes beyond real estate. Obviously, it helps people in real estate. But anyway, I'm sorry, I started to get all excited there for a minute.
I want to start doing a monologue, like maybe in the beginning of the show, you know, because there's so many things that we're like on target with. We want to say, hey, you know, we all have our opinions and do
yeah.
a monologue. And I was kind of reading about that, and they're like, you know, you kind of need to fit it to your age, too. And it's like, why? Why can't we jump all over the place? But anyhow, that's for another
why
day.
Why can't we? Hey, and Lynn Wicker, now, she's been on the show, I don't know, a couple years ago maybe. She is a man, oh, man. She's, you know, a lot of parents, you and I have talked a lot over the years about our kids and, you know, relationships with our kids. And even as, you know, now they're adults and we still, of course, worry and fret about them and think about them a lot, and pray for them and, you know, all that. Well, so it's no different. I mean, even if people have little kids, everybody hopes to raise successful kids, whatever you know, I kind of think is success. So Lynn Wicker is literally, Dr. Lynn Wicker is written a book, and it's Raising Kids That Succeed and how to help your kid think their way to success. So she's, you know, anyway, she's amazing. I could spend 20 minutes on her resume, but she's been 30 years experience in public education, leadership positions, higher education, K-12, international teacher of transformational leadership principles, all kinds of cool stuff. And she's got her doctorate from Florida State University, Harvard Graduate School of Education as well, Superintendent Institute. She knows kids, and what she's done is taken that 30 years, and she knows parents because she is one as well, and you know, she's taken that 30 years of experience and put it in a book that honestly Monica and I devoured when we got it because it was stuff I'd never really heard of, to be honest with you, with all the books that we had read. And then B, we were able to actually implement it in our relationships with our kids now, because it goes to raise successful kids, you've got to be aware of some of the stuff that blocked you in your life. And so she kind of circles it back to, you know, parents being aware of, you know, of the things that kind of held them back. And if they haven't resolved those things, guess what? Their kids will be held back because of some of that if they're not aware of it.
Repeating it, huh?
Yeah. Somebody said we repeat what we don't repair, and I think that applies, you know, in raising kids and marriage and all kinds of stuff, business. And so anyway, Lynn Wicker with us, Dr. Wicker joining us in just a couple of minutes here. It looks like about 10 minutes, and she'll be checking us. Also, she's Tallahassee, Florida, so she just went through the Irma experience, ask her some questions about how that's going there. And she wants to talk about coaching a little bit because it's been such a big thing for her to have coaches in her life. And that's essentially what she's doing with this book for parents, is she's coaching parents and how to be successful parents and have kids that succeed. And I know we all want that. And I guess what I'm trying to say in this meandering preamble is that you don't have to just hope. You can actually get this book. You can listen to Lynn Wicker in a few minutes and begin to actually get handles, action points, and steps to become the parent, you know, that you've always wanted to be. So that's Dr. Wicker coming up in about 10 minutes. And
I love it. Yeah, that's so – she's transformational leadership principles in more words. You know, our words are so powerful in what we do. It's just incredible. It's funny, I see, because I have one son, and then I see so many families when there's, you know, two, three, four children plus whatever, and each individual is so different, right? So it's interesting to learn the different characteristics. I remember reading books when my son was a baby about different personality types and different children, because everybody's different, you know, so even though we may be raised in certain environments, we still have our own unique personalities. And I'm interested to hear. What I was going to go over, people have asked me over the years, what's that magic that you do in sales, that piece that I say it's a negotiating part, because I think that part is the most important part of what agents and brokers get paid to do personally, because anybody can schlep, you know, anybody can go through, even though there is a good way to show a property. There really is a good way to point out and show and give people space and all that. But and then there's a lot of data, and it's important to get inspections and do things. But that negotiating is so important, and it's also so easy. And I want to just mention a couple steps. It's so easy because, and it goes to relationships, like we're going to hear Dr. Lynn Wicker discuss raising children, and that's such a formative age and formative time, and I know all of us probably say, gosh, I wish I could go back and do it a little differently, or this or that, and we all probably do the best that we can do, you know, and work on it. But relationships, people we meet every day, deals, it's all about, you know, relationships and negotiating, how we deal with other people. So I say to you, Randy, how are you doing today? And your response is usually going to be what?
Good. Yeah, pretty good.
Now, are there times where it might not be good and you're still saying good, fine, when, you know, you might be like, oh, I just had a rotten morning?
You know, I kind of in my old age lean toward, when they ask me that, being honest. I mean, you know, I know good is our default, but I'll kind of lead with, it's been a rough day, been a rough week. I'm tired, you know, and maybe that comes with age, but I'm a little more honest.
Yeah, and I think we all tend to do this, right? And then it takes work. It takes work for us to try to still stay positive, you know, because this is it. This is our day. So in negotiating, and it's kind of finding common ground, but making it a win-win. I think when negotiators go in, if they say, I want it all, you know, and the other, say the seller says, I want it all, the buyer wants it all, and if both sides want it all, there are so many deals and transactions to just leave just because everybody wants it their way, and they, you know, things fall apart over the smallest items, and lots of times it's because the ego is getting in the way. So.
Yep.
So I found over the years that's the one piece. So we still, it's so good to still be positive, you know. So someone says, "Well, I'm having a bad day," you know. What's going on? Hey, how, you know? What are you okay? And well, yeah, I'm okay. And lots of times we find that our day's not as bad as it could be, or as bad as somebody else's could be. You know, if we start looking in that frame of mind, it's there's a lot of shifts that take place, and it's just. We're always bringing our piece to the table, right? Our personality, our ways to usually negotiations or what we want. So as simple as you go to the store and you're buying, I want to buy a hot dog at 7-Eleven. I'm just thinking of it. You know, you're going to go and get it, and the person's they're going to take your money and pay, and then you know you've got it as an exchange. But so we're expecting certain things to go a certain way. It's the way we're taught and we're formed, just like, you know, you expect people pretty much to say, I'm fine, whether they are or not. And
yeah.
I think in the negotiating, it's really, that's why sometimes it's easier for a third party to be kind of removed and negotiate. Again, agents and brokers typically get commission, so they, you know, want to get that deal worked, and they're not getting paid if it doesn't work, which gives extra motivation to get this done. Right? Not the only motivation, because if it's the only motivation, you couldn't be good in the industry. So that win-win is really finding common ground and getting both sides to say, hey, you know, we have to find some win-win and common ground here and negotiate. If you want it all your way, you might not be selling your house for quite a while on everything. Same with the buyer.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's the piece that is really important to try to just say, let's inch this in. What really is important? And sometimes it could be something so small that's going to change that person's mind, that's going to get it going. So I wanted to go over that just a little bit because it I've seen it thousands of times, really, because I can say over 32 years. And it really is a common ground. Lots of times people just think, oh, here it is. They'll either take it or they'll leave it. And it's important for the agents even to talk amongst each other. Now, sellers and buyers that are in the deal themselves and they're not using agents and brokers, it's really important to kind of step back a bit and don't put all your cards on the table. No matter, you want to say if you're a seller, if there's anything wrong with the property, you need to disclose if there's anything wrong that you know about. But you do not want to put all your cards on the table. Well, you know, I'll take this price, but I want this price, but I'm moving here, and if you do this, you want to let the buyer bring in an offer first, too, or negotiate. But it's a common ground, and it turns around. We see this in life right now, in politics, the left versus the right and in the middle. And if we're really ever going to get anything done, we have to find common ground, right? And that's where there's a give and the take. So that's a question I get asked all the time. So, you know, I wanted to just address it. And another thing that gets in the way is the ego. Ego seems to be huge in many situations, isn't it? With everything. And the other thing is acceptance. Lots of times people come to transactions or deals and there's a prejudice going on, you know, it can fall into many categories. So that's being able to kind of pull back and get that going. Now, in our industry, our big thing is sellers and broker. I mean, agents and brokers is finding the buyers and sellers to connect together, you know, to make that, you know, when you're selling a property, to get the people that are going to buy. But that's not the only piece of it. It's the negotiation's huge. So, and it could be a win-win-win.
Yeah. You know, you just shared again is obviously true in business and real estate, but man, in life, right? Negotiation, the art of negotiation, right? You know, and it is an art form, that's for sure. Gosh, you know, you
the
talk
other
about
side,
marriage.
Though, if they feel put off by you, then they put a wall up, and you can't get into any of that, right? You can't get into the negotiating. I was at the working in corporate with our for a Realty Universal membership and affiliates, some life balance programs, which, you know, how much we believe in it so much and why we do the show the way we do it. And because real estate is, and the sales go on. The sales definitely go on, because when you have agents and brokers connecting and doing their part of it, it just makes it a healthier, happier atmosphere. But we was at a Dream Builder convention certification, and Mary Morrissey leads all of this. She's been involved in these types of programs for 40 years. An amazing, amazing person. And she was mentioning people that if they needed to talk to their spouse about agreeing with them getting into this type of program, to come at it from not, will you let me do this, can I do this, or whatever, just, I know you love me, I want you to support me, you know, type of, it's just a different framework of how to address things. So interesting. It's just, it's really good if we can pull ourselves back and kind of look from afar and say, what does a person need? What do they need? Or what makes this deal work? And when we can do that and kind of separate ourselves from all the emotions and all the muck and all the other things, you know, that's how that negotiating works. And it's at least in real estate. So.
Wow. Very cool. Very, very cool. And again, it's almost like we plan this, because really negotiation, and
but
like you said, putting yourself in someone else's place, you know, and asking what do they need, and there are all of those kinds of concepts, empathy, you know, all of those things that you've kind of just outlined as kind of keys to negotiation and win-win in business. Man, they apply in family. And they imply, you know, kind of across the board, and it is just difficult. And so it does apply as well to kind of our topic here for the next few minutes. Dr. Lynn Wicker is with us, and I believe she's on the line. Hey, you, how are you?
Randy, wow, so good to hear your voice.
Good to hear you. Natalie's with us as well.
How are you? I remember. Oh, I remember
Natalie.
Talking to you a couple years ago. How have you been? How'd you make out right now with Florida? God bless you.
Yeah, I actually have been living in Athens, Georgia, the past year and a half. So, lots of friends and family still in Florida, though. So, but everyone's okay. So we're very blessed.
Good.
Awesome.
Good.
Awesome. Well, it's good to hear. So we've got some time here, and we really, again, on this show, Realty Universal Radio, we talk real estate, and then we also talk about topics that apply to families, and obviously raising kids that succeed is a big deal. I mean, I really kind of in promoting this today, it came to me that most parents hope, you know, that they can raise kids that succeed, whatever they deem success to be. And literally, you don't have to just hope. You can actually glean from Dr. Wicker's, you know, 30-plus years of experience in education. Much of that as an administrator, and she's just around kids and around parents and watching and observing, and written a book called Raising Kids That Succeed, How to Help Your Kids Overcome Life's Limitations and Think Their Way to Lifelong Success. And so I think our time together, let's spend some time on that book, because I know people are still buying that book, and I know I shared with Natalie that the reason Monica and I just inhaled the book and read it when we got it was that it goes to kind of awareness in terms of parents being aware of the stuff that blocked them, blocked us, and, you know, realizing that if your lack of awareness in that area is going to create, of course, some blockage possibly for your kids. So it goes to a kind of a a personal growth thing for the parent, and then it works even at this late date with the kids. That's what I love about the book, is the principles that you talk about in there, because they are personal growth type things. We're able to literally use some of the stuff and talk to our adult kids about some of those things. So, you know, I love the book, and I know it's been very, very successful. And tell us a little bit about, again, kind of circle back for those who might not have been with us when you were with us before or familiar with the book. What was the kind of the, if you could boil it down to, what was the reason that you decided to write the book?
Well, thanks so much, Randy, for all of that. You are spot on, to be sure. You mentioned I was an educator for 30 years, principal, superintendent, teacher, all kinds of things at all levels, elementary, middle, and high school, and then my own family, my own kids, and friends' kids and relatives' kids, and, you know, everybody's got kids and everybody's got issues. Whether it's a first grader or an 18-year-old or, you know, a 35-year-old that moved back home because their life fell apart. And the why behind the book was I got asked so many questions no matter where I was. You know, people would just kind of think, well, gosh, you ought to be an expert on this. Your life's kind of been around all this stuff, you know. And I found myself just kind of impromptu, you know, talking to people and talking through some stuff. What I learned to start calling it mini coaching sessions with people, trying to figure this stuff out. And, you know, after I did that for, I don't know, a number of years, I thought, okay, all right, I have really got to make this available to people more in a context they can put their hands around, read and digest. And I've done small groups at church based on it. I've got a family empowerment weekend coming up that my church is doing for families that we're gonna use the book on. And, you know, Randy, here's what I know. We are people before we are parents. Could you agree with that?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
We're people. We're people. Uh-huh. Good, bad, indifferent, whatever. And I don't think I have yet to meet one person and get into any kind of conversation with them where their story starts coming out, right? So my church has a big picture in our conference room in the office, and I think they got it from John Maxwell's old church skyline in San Diego, and it says every seat tells a story.
Sure.
And
good point.
And that is, yeah, isn't that so true, that everybody's got a story, and usually something really traumatic or something happened to them growing up. Maybe it was at school, maybe it was in the neighborhood, maybe it was at home. And that's a big scale, right? From maybe a 1 on the trauma scale to a 15 on a scale of 10, you know, just over the top. And most of us walk around wounded. And I know I did. I know so many people that have. We walk around, we grow up, you know, and we're wounded and we have hurts and we have things that just keep plaguing us. And those things obviously are still there when we get married and start having kids, and that's where, as a friend of mine says, the yogurt hits the fan.
I love it. Just picture, yeah. Oh, wow. Exactly.
Yeah, that's it. I'm amazed in my life, you know, how because early on, you know, not having a role model really in terms of a father, you know, I didn't know what to do. And so, you know, you make a bunch of mistakes and you kind of figure it out. And, you know, the cool news is, and my wife and I have a saying at our marriage events that we do, that, you know, it's never too late to live happily ever after, you know, and it's a choice that we make. And we can kind of circle back and overcome some of the, you know, the things that, you know, that kind of blocked us in our success, and literally use them as teaching moments to help like kind of free up our kids even years down the road, which I thought is pretty amazing. So, again, there are so many, boy, this is one of those topics like the marriage topic, so many books out there. And what differentiates, again, your book from others is, I believe, kind of this angle, if you will, this camera lens angle of working on you as a parent and in your thing. So some example, can you share with us an example maybe of, an area in somebody's life, a parent where, if they haven't really become aware of that and maybe had it worked through either with counseling or whatever, that it can impact their kids? Is there one that comes
sure.
up? Like an, yeah.
Yeah, there's a bunch, but I think one that's pretty pervasive, and I just had a coaching client yesterday, and there it was, came up again very consistently across the board for people, and that is this sense of being insignificant. I don't matter. I don't measure up. I am less than. All of those things. Now, the reason that happens varies, right? So from things like, gee, my mother told me I was worthless, just blatant things like that, all the way to my parents never really invested any time in me, so I just determined that I must not be worth it. Those kind of things. Also, of course, growing up with all forms of abuse, whether it's emotional, psychological, physical, sexual, whatever it is, the scars that those things leave, and then never addressed. And so then how that starts manifesting itself, gosh, I mean, it is something that happens where, admittedly, in our subconscious mind, it's there. It's a roaring lion that stays well hidden until it's time to say things, speak into the lives of our kids, and we start hearing these facts we believe about ourselves. Notice I didn't say truth, because truth
right.
doesn't change, right? But facts
right.
change. And so when we have a fact we believe about ourselves and we start speaking that, those same things over our kids, like, don't do that because that person's more important than you, or maybe it's more subtle, but it's just what I call and many others call, autopilot thinking. And so I refer to it as autopilot parenting, where, you just go on autopilot, and everything that's messed up and bad and dysfunctional and all of those things that live in our subconscious that we haven't put behind us and chosen healthier views of ourselves, they start impacting what we say and how we lead our kids. And so I talk in the book about becoming the opposite of autopilot, which is intentional. And it's hard to break some of those thinking habits, and the thinking habits lead to behavior habits. But that's, Randy, really where it has to start. We know that, but it really takes exposing it, to make headway into making change, purposeful, meaningful change in our day-to-day lives.
Hmm. Wow.
And that the book's called the book's called How to Raise the Successful Kids, or I want to make sure we
raising
get that
kids
out
that
there.
Succeed, yeah, raising kids
okay,
that
raising
succeed,
kids
how
that
to help
succeed.
Your kids overcome life's limitations, and it's amazing. It can be gotten right on just about anywhere online, right? Amazon and
yeah,
of course your
right,
website
yeah.
as well, yeah,
yeah, yeah,
and. It's so, so, so important. And I love what you just said about intentional, because that's it. I mean, honestly, right? I mean, and this relates, again, across the board, intentionality. I mean,
mm-hmm,
marriage
mm-hmm.
or kids or
yep.
business, right? Natalie, I mean,
everything.
If you're not intentional
mm-hmm.
about,
everything.
Real estate and you know, the things that you have to do to serve a client, you know, beginning with, you know, finding the clients. You've got to be intentional about it.
You know, Randy and I, we do the Realty Universal is a mixture of, you know, real estate and the self-help and giving back and everything, and it comes a lot from that too. Us walking around as wounded adults, right, and then wanting to help and make a difference. And you have that impact inside of you, wanting to serve even more. Sometimes I think I can't, you know, and it's a definitely a can be a roller coaster ride when someone's growing through that when they're younger and not addressing it. I think that's a very very difficult situation.
Yeah, and it's kind of what I've come to understand the last two or three years when I've really been focused on this book, this content, and working with groups of parents and of kids of all ages. And what I've really learned myself more as I'm growing in this area of coaching people and really helping them with this, it's like squared. Like it's issues squared, the mathematical term. When you when you have a couple, right? You have a mom and a dad, and they both bring these things to the table to bear on parenting. And you know, Randy, you mentioned with you and Monica with your work with marriages, same thing, right? So it's what each person brings to the relationship. Well, that doesn't change when you start the parenting process either. And sometimes we can get at odds with our spouse about, you know, how we handle something or do something. And so helping couples in the small group that I did from my church, one of the biggest breakthroughs I saw was with a couple who had a teenage son that was just absolutely terrorizing them. And found out really that they couldn't agree. You know, they had huge issues on their approach to all of his issues. So they made so much progress in understanding how they were really sabotaging the whole process. But it took them recognizing, and you said earlier the word awareness, you know, getting them to just be aware of what was happening and being willing to address it, you know, in the moment, not later, but as something in real time was happening where he was challenging their authority or going places they told him not to go or coming in way after curfew. And, you know, it would always obviously create these huge, interactions that weren't really positive. Yeah, and helping them figure out how they could become a team, you know, a united team in this thing. And, man, that made all the difference in the world for them, just that one piece of awareness.
Wow, Dr. Lynn Wicker with us. And, again, she is talking about her book that just awesome. It's Raising Kids That Succeed, How to Help Your Kids Overcome Life's Limitations and Think their way to lifelong success. So, by the way, you can email us questions for Dr. Wicker. Again, radio@realtyuniversal.com, radio@realtyuniversal.com. And Gina did that. Gina asked this, Lynn. So, in all your years in education, what would you define as a successful kid?
Success? I love it. And I'm not even going to say read the book. Oh, it's in there. It really is. And I absolutely love that question. Did you say Gina sent it in?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the question, Gina. So in the book, I talk about, you know, parents' definition, a lot of parents' definition of success has to do with things like their kid is on the honor roll. When they're in college, they make the dean's list. They get the number one slot on their volleyball team or their softball or baseball team. You get it. All of those kinds of things. And then I talk about how if you ask a parent that question, well, you know, what do you want your kid to be when they grow up? What kind of person? 99.9% of the time, they won't mention any of those things, right? If you point blank ask them,
right.
You know, what kind of person, they'll say things like, well, I want them to be a person that's honest and has integrity and character and knows how to, you know, make a living for themselves and is happy.
Be happy.
And, okay, so
right.
So those are the things we say, but then when you watch our behavior as the things that we make a huge priority with, so what we're doing is we're teaching our kids what we really think, okay, is successful. And so we're sowing that into their life that success is, you know, making the AB honor roll every 9 weeks, the dean's list, getting a scholarship to the best, you know, college, making in elementary school even. You know, you can imagine it's all ages that we have these things that we say we want and we're transmitting that. So thinking about all of that, you know, the things we actually do versus the how we would answer the question, what kind of person we want our kids to be as adults. In the book, I kind of flip a switch and talk about, well, what is success then? You know, if raising kids to succeed, there it is in the title. So what in the world really is it? And here's my take on it. Our kids can be successful and will be successful if we do our job as parents and prepare them for the inevitable challenges and obstacles in life, that they are equipped to know what to do, what attitudes to have, what thinking to have to be able to successfully navigate those inevitable challenges and obstacles. If you've done that, my friend, you've raised a successful kid who's going to be a very successful adult. Guess what? In all of my years as an adult, I have never once had anybody ask me, was I on the honor roll?
Right, makes sense.
Never.
Yeah.
You know, never. How many? Okay, so, but boy, did it matter that, you know, when I had twin boys that had severe cerebral palsy because they were so premature that I had, you know, mature adults who had sown into me a sense of to know who to turn to and what my source was, who my source was, and how to think about that instead of falling into utter despair about those
right.
things. Now that's a significant example, but now, I mean, it can literally be anything. You know, you get a setback in life, you get a bad health report, you lose your job, you're laid off. You have a big financial setback, anything. How do we teach our kids through our own example and through teaching them intentionally to deal with those challenges when they come their way?
Right.
Wow. So you're preparing them. It's that kind of that old teach a man to fish, or, you know, feed a man
yes.
to fish type of idea, where, but if you teach the man, so in this case, teach the kid, as opposed to doing stuff for them. Because, right, I'm sure you saw this, the helicopter, what do they call them, helicopter moms, or, or dads that do everything for their kids, and then you're not teaching them to do and think on their own.
Well, yeah, and you know, what's also been just like a flashing neon sign to me over the years in trying to help parents who came asking me questions is, one of the hardest things to do is let our kids experience consequences.
That is true.
We want to,
right.
You know, we want to shelter them from pain because, you know, I love the old quote that our kids are our heart walking around outside our body. I mean, you know, what hurts them? Yeah. Oh,
right.
What hurts them kills us, right? Oh, it's just, it's awful. It's just awful.
Exactly.
I'm not saying it's easy to do. But when within their realm, they've made decisions that then cause them some very painful consequences. You know, we have to use good judgment, obviously, but letting them experience consequences, because that's what causes growth. That is one of the most kind things that we can do for them as they're growing up.
What? Give us an example. Like, what would you be? Because I know I had a lot of abuse in my childhood, and I swore when I was 11 or 12 when I was going to have children that if I ever did those kind of things, I would go get help. So I'm not saying I've been perfect, but I definitely swung the pendulum so far the other way, trying to be overprotective, you know, and giving the extra love and making sure those feelings and those words didn't come, all those kind of things. So what would be an example of saying, hey, let's not let them learn the consequences? How far do we go with that? Basically.
Yeah.
I can
give you a very personal example. I hope my daughter doesn't listen to this.
I know. You think that would
be probably won't. She probably won't. My daughter's very successful. She's 26 and works for a very successful insurance company. But when she was in college, she decided to move out right from home, as they always do. And she moved in with a couple of friends, and life was good. And she had actually won a state scholarship that pretty much paid all of her tuition for her bachelor's degree, but she had to keep her GPA, up above, I think, a 3.0. And so I was constantly reminding her of that, and she had good grades all the way through high school and had, good grades in college and everything. And so when she moved out, she was working a full-time job at a grocery store because now she had more expenses. And I brought her to the side, and I said, look, here's the deal. You're working now to support yourself while you're going to school full-time. Something's going to suffer, right? Something's going to suffer. So you've created this situation because you didn't have to move out from home.
Right.
And it wasn't like it was a horrible situation. As it would happen, that's exactly what happened. And she started having to work more and more hours at the grocery store just to support her rent and food and things like that. And so that was hugely stressful for her. Well, the next thing I know, on her own, she made the decision she needed one more class course at the university in a foreign language, and she had 5 years of Spanish already. So you would think she would take another year of Spanish and make it really easy on herself, but no, for some reason, she decides to take French. Oh my goodness!
But they're Latin based.
So when I found out about it, is when she got an F in French.
Ooh.
And she got an F in French. Number one, because it's a difficult language which she had no experience with, and number two, because she was working so many hours, she didn't have time to devote to studying it. Well, the consequence of that was her GPA dropped below the 3.0 for a couple of semesters, and she lost her scholarship.
Oh.
Yep, she lost her scholarship. I was an associate dean at the College of Education at that point in time, and if I had really, really, really wanted to, I probably could have intervened and, done a few things to maybe soften the blow a little bit. Couldn't have changed the grade, of course, but could have maybe done a few things to soften the blow, but I didn't, because she made two decisions back-to-back that were she was advised not to, and she went ahead and did it anyway. And the really, really bad lesson about all of it is once she lost her scholarship, she came to me, with, now what am I going to do? And I said, well, looks like to me you're going to have to apply for a student loan that's going to be your responsibility.
Oh.
So, yeah, yeah.
That was good.
So,
right.
That was a hard lesson, and it was really hard for me because I wanted to just swoop in and make it all okay, but I didn't, and it's been one of those lessons. And you know what I think is important to know. I've told my daughter this, and I've shared this with other parents, is tell your kids that life is full of decisions, and some decisions that we make will all have consequences of one nature or other, good or bad. But some decisions that we make will have consequences that last for 30 years. And some decisions that we make will have consequences that last for 30 minutes. The problem is having the wisdom to know which is which.
Yeah. Whoo, that's good stuff right there. That's worth the price of admission on that one. 30 years, 30 minutes, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Yeah,
the wisdom
to know the difference.
Dr. Lynn Wicker is with us, and again, the book Raising Kids that Succeed. And again, we know if you're listening, again, Lynn, the contact website, I know, lynnwicker.com, right?
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, lynnwicker.com for all the above. And essentially, what this book is doing is coaching parents, and again, coaching young parents, coaching old parents like me. You know, the good news is what I have found, just to kind of put a bow on our conversation about the kids, is because I do want to transition into some coaching conversation before we let you go, is that the good news is if you've made mistakes, if you, for whatever reason, you know, have not been as intentional as you wanted to be in, you know, working on kind of your stuff and maybe because of that, you know, block some of the success of your kids, it's really never too late. And it really, really, really isn't. And Monica and I are examples of that because our oldest son, Ryan, who I can't believe it now, is like 36, you know, and he was our baby boy. And, you know, and we were pretty pretty young youth pastors, and I got to say it, pretty hypocritical, right? I mean, you know, believing in God, but really not, we were still broken. You mentioned, you know, carrying around our woundedness. We were, you know, we were just, we had great presentation. We were kind of faking it till we could make it. But in that process of faking it till we make it, as parents, my oldest kind of watched us. And because of that, early on, man, he increasingly, as he became a teenager, was pretty jaded on, you know, on church and church people. And so it's been an ongoing, literally now, you know, 20-year conversation with him. Him seeing Monica and I cop to all of that, you know, be honest about that.
Right, yes.
You know, and say, man, we really, we're so sorry. But that was, you saw, we were hypocrites and we didn't know any better. And I finally got to a place in this conversation where he said, and this just freed me up. It was almost like, I don't know how to, it was like the Lord speaking to me. And it was through my son. He said, Dad, you did the best you could do.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's a win.
You did the best you could do with what you had. I mean, it's amazing that you lived long enough to have kids. And so, you know,
whatever happened with,
and I just began to weep when he said that, you know. I mean, Ryan, thank you for that because, you know, and my point in that little story is it's never too late. To be honest with your kids and help them still become successful, right?
Yep. You're so right. It is the honesty and that makes the difference. Without it, there will not be that. There will not be that change at all.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, and it's, you know, sometimes it may take years and my son kind of loves, he's one of those deep thinker, doesn't sleep a lot kind of guys, you know, and so he, you know, he thinks about things deeply, and so he loves bringing up theological questions that you know, may or may not be in the Bible, you know, and he makes me think, and it really actually pushes me in terms of my faith at my age,
it's
been a win-win, you know, where we're able to talk about things, and you know, and then someone asked him, I think it was Monica's brother-in-law, asked him at one point about whether, you know, with all of our marriage seminars and stuff, is that really all that stuff they talk about, is it for real, or, you know, is it just kind of a gig for them, you know, and Ryan was able to say to him, you know, that he has seen the change in us. And so, yeah, it just keep at it, I guess, is what I would say to parents, man, who might be in our situation.
Yeah, I agree with that, all of it. Yeah, and people, and I think things can happen, and it's never too late to say I'm sorry either. You know, hey, I'm, like you said, and it's interesting in life, though. We're just, life is such a journey, right? We can think we do. But have you found, Dr. Wicker, that, you know, different personalities, different children in the same family could be so different that the parenting, even if the parents did everything they could, you could have still have other issues. It's not all on our shoulders, even though we need to turn it over to God. Yeah.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely. You know, we know how personalities are different. That's a huge factor. We know that we are all individuals. We all have free will. Our Lord is perfect, and he's not even successful with all of his children.
I have to think about that every day. Okay, wait a minute. No, that's really good.
Wow.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm writing that one down right now. The Lord is perfect. And that one's good. That blesses parents right there.
It's that free will thing, you know. God loves us. He draws us. He's for us. But you know what? We still get to choose. The scripture's there to guide us. We have to lean into it. We have to seek the wisdom from it. And, you know, all those things are analogies to parenting because he's our heavenly father and we parent our kids, you know, and we want the best for them and we certainly love them. And, you know, we don't like disciplining them. God doesn't like to discipline us, but gosh, he will. He will.
Absolutely.
Because he loves us. You know, he loves us. And so the greatest, most powerful thing a parent can do is seek God's wisdom about their kids because they are all different and they require different approaches and different consequences. All of those things matter, and I know that God will give anyone wisdom that sincerely asks for it, and I like to call that the secret weapon of parenting. Ask God.
I love it. That key for prayer.
Wow.
Prayer is so important, right? Prayer.
Yes.
Prayer even going on to generations in the future, you know, and God does answer our prayers. He does. It's just amazing.
You know, I just had to throw this in real quick, Randy. I know we were going to talk about coaching a little bit, but I just have to throw this in, and it's just it's meant so much to me recently in my own life. My pastor has a statement that he says pretty frequently, and I have it on my whiteboard in my conference room in my office, and I see it every single day. And here's what it says: obedience precedes the miraculous. And, you know, when we want miracles to happen in our lives, maybe we've got kids that have become very difficult teenagers, or we've got young adults or even middle-aged adult kids, and their lives have just been a train wreck and just one crisis after another. Obedience precedes the miraculous. And so for me, when I'm praying for another person that I love and I really want to see God do something miraculous in their life, I need to be obedient in my role and my part in, you know, my life first and be committed to praying in a way and living my life in a way that lets them know there is redemption, there is salvation, there is a bringing back you know, into the fold, and never falling over into the accusatory, judgmental, you know, side of things that never ever brought the first person into faith. So obedience always precedes the miraculous.
Wow. Dr. Lynn Wicker doing some coaching with us today as regards parenting, and you know, we do have just a couple more minutes, and we did want to touch on, and this is another maybe topic for another time with you where we could spend the whole time because it is a big, big kind of topic. But the idea of coaching, and that's essentially what you've been doing with us here in this last few minutes and what you do in your books and, you know, and I know you're involved with the John Maxwell team in a leadership capacity. But talk to us a little bit about coaching and how it's impacted you and why people need coaching, and then let's circle around and make sure we get your contact info again so anybody who might want to touch bases with you in terms of some coaching could do that. But
yeah.
Talk to us a little bit about coaching and what it's meant to you.
Yeah. Well, for me in my own life, having a coach has been just a lifesaver, really, because I saw the power of it in my own life. And so as a coach working with other coaching clients, I was just telling a friend of mine earlier today that if I could fill my calendar, 5 days a week with nothing but coaching clients, my life would be fulfilled because obviously I do other things. But when people come into this coaching relationship, they are bringing very unique, specific concerns, issues, questions, forks in the road for them personally, career-wise, you name it. And as a coach, my role is to, through the art of questioning, help them see that they are already fully resourced. So you don't come lacking. We have the resources within ourselves to find answers, to find solutions. We are resourced to do that, particularly people of faith, which is what I love.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing into the equation, and so it's very, very powerful. And what I have found, people have actually come into a coaching relationship having worked with a social worker or mental health counselor.
Amen.
Or some other kind of
Amen.
Situation, and they
same.
Come to me and say, all I got in that relationship was you need to do this and you need to do that and here's what you need to do, and I've sized this whole situation up, and they said it just did not resonate with me. And I, I'm not knocking that profession at all. There's certainly a place for it and
sure.
what people need, particularly if there are, issues that are manifesting other things. But for the most part, the people that I talk to are just people who really need to sit themselves down and have some time to think about how they got where they are and how they want to move forward. And the last thing I'll say about that is you may be familiar with Pastor Robert Morris of Gateway Church,
yeah.
large church, right? And
yep.
I heard him do a teaching not too long ago about how we know we're on the right track. And there were three things. I'm just going to give you the second one because it applies to coaching, and that is seeking wise counsel, right? Seeking wise
right.
counsel. But there was a part B to that I'd never heard before. And he said, don't just seek wise counsel, but seek wise counsel from a person that knows you and knows the whole situation.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
Because every story has lots of parts to it. So,
yeah.
Having a coaching relationship, a person can really get to know you in that coaching relationship, and you can become truthful and honest and transparent and really start seeing some personal growth and moving forward in your life instead of staying stuck and even feeling like you're moving backwards. So I highly recommend it. I've seen some very powerful things happen in people's individual lives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so folks can connect with you, and I know you do, like you said, you love that, and that's not sure if you have any openings, but I know from time to time you do. And if somebody's interested, again, they just go to lynnwicker.com. Is that the best place?
Yeah, my email is Lynn. Yep, Lynn, L-Y-N-N, at lynnwicker.com. Yep, Wicker, just like Wicker Furniture.
That's awesome. Yeah, I know. I just, over the years, having met you, through the Maxwell team, and I just never, ever, ever get off the phone or an interview or a conversation without being inspired, encouraged, and I get a great quote or two every time that I can use in sermons. So,
You sure can. Please do.
And quick, I know we have to get going, but just one quick question. How about those Noles? Are they going to be okay this year? What's going on there?
Oh, goodness.
Florida
you
State.
Had to go there, didn't you? You know what? I'm going to say yes. It's going to be a great year. We lost our quarterback already, but we've got a good backup. So go Noles.
Okay. Go Noles. She's a big Florida
yeah.
State fan, Seminoles, yeah. So it is college football season. Well, thanks, Dr. Wicker, for joining us. I know you're busy.
Thank you, my pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
God bless you, and hopefully we'll talk again. Maybe we'll circle back around and do a coaching show here sometime in the
near
future.
That would be amazing. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thanks, Dr.
All right.
Thank you so
much.
All right. You're very welcome.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Dr. Lynn Wicker. Dr. Lynn Wicker. Again, lynnwicker.com. You can get in touch with her, and that's good stuff, right? That's just really good stuff. She is our tribe.
Totally circles us
yeah.
all around for what we do and why we do it, doesn't it? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Totally.
Oh, man.
In our real estate world, you know, we just reaffirms why we do what we do and the purpose behind
yeah.
it. It's amazing. So awesome. To everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.